Pastor Ray Bentley points out, God is looking for conduits of blessing, not repositories.
A mark of spiritual growth and maturity is being able to share biblical truth with others. It's not a personal bless me club. It's not just all about you. It is about others. Beginning with, outside of you, to God and loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then others.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When we breathe, there's inflow and outflow. And in a healthy Christian life, there's the inflow of spiritual learning and the outflow of spiritual service. Inflow of blessings, outflow of blessing others. Today, Pastor Ray shows us that and several other aspects of maximizing our Christian growth.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Actually, let's begin with verse 10. He says, "So Jesus, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Now, immediately, I don't know about you, but I would love to learn a lot more about this Melchizedek and the writer of Hebrews' insights, his obvious genius and understanding and insight. And he says, "I can't anymore because you guys are dull of hearing." So I want to take these verses and give you four principles of how, if we really want to grow, that we need to apply. Number one, let God's word pierce you daily. Let God's word continue to pierce you. These believers began their spiritual backsliding by drifting from God's word. And then once you drift from God's word, you begin to doubt God's word. When I was young, by the way, if you guys could have known me or heard me in my 20s, I knew a lot more then than I do now, if you know what I mean. Because I studied the Bible with the idea that, okay, here's questions, here's life's questions, here's spiritual questions. Boom, I'm going into the Word and I had the answers. You could ask me any question, I knew the answer. And to me, that's what being spiritual was. Here's life, here's humanity, here's the spiritual guide, here's the questions, boom, and here's all the answers. Well, the danger of that is that you can reach a point where you go, man, it becomes an intellectual exercise. And while that may appeal to some people, you can go so much to live out of your head, you really stop living out of your heart. There are others who say, well, I'm not as intellectually inclined. And so they go, I've heard it, I've read it, I know it. And they kind of slowly, casually, it's not that they don't believe it, but they just drift away. It's not a part of their daily life and routine. Let me say this. The temptation for every believer is to say, I've accomplished, something, and I've learned something, and I've grown to a certain extent, and I'll settle for where I am. There's this erroneous idea of safety in that. But let me tell you this. You haven't arrived anywhere. In fact, the whole point is not about arriving. With Abraham, it's the walk with God. It's knowing the Lord. It's experiencing a fellowship, an intimacy with God along the way. We're never going to arrive, even when we get to heaven. Ephesians 2, 6, and 7 says that throughout the unending ages, He will be pouring out and revealing more and more of His grace and mercy to us. It's like, otherwise, heaven would be boring. Oh, there it is. It's all there, and it's static, and it's going to forever remain the same. No. There's going to be the millennium. There's 1,000 years of heaven and earth married together. And then God says, watch this. You guys think this is awesome. I mean, I think God's going to bring us back to where He, let us experience for 1,000 years. Here's what I had in mind back, in the day with Adam and Eve walking on the top of the mountain. Here's what life, I intended it for that to be. And just at the end of 1,000 years of peace and righteousness and love and community and the world truly is one, then He goes, oh, but that's nothing. Watch this. And He turns page 2 or chapter 2 of the book. And all of a sudden, there is this whole new dimensions and realms of sights and sounds and creations and experiences, and we'll probably fall on our faces. Who knows for how long? And just when we barely get up and get used to it and begin walking in this whole new depth of what God's created, he'll say, that's nothing, watch this. Whoosh! An unending book, as it were, going further up and further in. So we have to let God's word pierce us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So the word, you hear the Lord and your ear becomes sensitive and you can hear the voice of God. Now, the next principle is in verse 12, and that is share the truth with others. If you want to keep growing spiritually, you've got to share what you learn. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. A mark of spiritual growth and maturity is being able to share biblical truth with others. It's not a personal bless me club. It's not just all about you. It is about others. Beginning with outside of you to God and loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then others. Being able to share it. Now, not everyone's going to have the gift of teaching, but everyone should be able to share what they have personally learned from the Lord. By the way, let me tell you this, and I think this is such a powerful, empowering truth. Because today in debates and arguments, they'll always say, well, the experts say, and the experts have written, and the experts have concluded. And a lot of times they don't tell you who they are, but you're supposed, you know, well, they're the experts. We're just the dodos that listen to the experts. Let me just say this. There is an area of your life that no one, I don't care how many degrees or how smart they are, is more of an expert than you. And that is your personal life experience. Nobody can tell me what I felt. Nobody can tell me what I thought. Nobody can tell me what I saw. Nobody can tell me what I have learned and gone through and applied in my own life. Let me tell you, your personal testimony is your area of absolute expertise. You're an expert on your life because you're living it. And you can share it. Now, people may not agree with it, but you can say, you know what? This is what I found. And this is what I've learned. And this is what I did. And I prayed. And I asked the Lord. And God intervened. And God heard my prayer. And you share it. One of the most important lessons children learn is that of sharing. In kindergarten, we teach them, share. Share the word. Share the truth. Now, here's another typical thing that happens with young Christians are usually the life of the church and they're sharing with everybody, right? You remember when you were a brand new baby Christian and you're so filled with the Spirit and so excited you wanted to run up and grab people and say, because you see it. You remember when you first saw the Lord and the truth of heaven and reality? I knew that I could convince anybody of the gospel. It was so obvious. How could you not see it? And if I could just talk to them long enough, I could convince them. And it's only later that I remembered, why did I see that look of horror and fear in their eyes as they were running away? Okay, so maybe I was a little zealous. It is typical of young believers to be a little overbearing and a little overzealous. Some of you have had that experience. But here's the danger. Then you get to the place where now you are a sophisticated believer. Oh, I don't share like that anymore. You just keep it kind of close to the vest, as it were. And you don't share anything. And there's got to be a balance between being over-exuberant and over-zealous and being real. Somebody at the water cooler, and they're standing there, and they're saying, oh, man, my mom just got diagnosed with cancer, and it's just killing me. And you just stand there and go, oh, wow, whew, that's really something. I'll have to pray for them. Okay, what about maybe going up and saying, hey, what's your mom's name? Oh, her name's Mary. I'm going to remember to pray for Mary. Oh, really? Thank you. I've never had anybody reject that kind of care, compassion, humanity, love, or prayer in moments like that. If you have grown any from when you were young, okay, there's a balance, yes. But you still are a human being that is to love and care for and engage. That's why Jesus told the disciples, you go out and lay hands on them. You pray for the sick. You go out and deliver the people that have all kinds of obsessions and demon possession and whatever. You share the good news with them. You bring peace to them. And that's what the body of Christ should be doing. Sharing. So if you haven't shared in a while, and you're growing dull of hearing, maybe just in some ways begin to practice and exercise that spiritual muscle of sharing your faith. Now, the next principle, verses 12 and 13. Move from a baby food diet to a grown-up diet. This is how the writer of Hebrews explains it. In verse 12, he says, For by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Now the writer defines milk, the milk of the word is the life of Jesus. That's great. The Gospels. Jesus lived and Jesus taught and Jesus did miracles and then Jesus died on the cross and then Jesus was buried according to the scriptures. And then on the third day Jesus rose and he ascended up into heaven and he poured out his spirit. All of the life in the stories of Jesus is the milk of the word. The meat of the word, as the writer of Hebrews seeks to declare, is not only the deeper revelations of God, but a deeper life experience. In other words, the meat of the gospel would be not only that Jesus laid hands and prayed for people that were sick, but now I go out and am following him and obeying him and letting him use me in his life and laying hands upon the sick and having compassion for those who are suffering and loving them in Jesus' name. Now it's meat. Now it has, as it were, some teeth to it. It has substance. Now it is not only what Jesus did in the past, it's what he is doing here and now from heaven, interceding for me and living in and through my life on the earth. So, we need to grow in the area of God's word and the meat of God's word and the application of God's word and sharing it with one another. Now, one of the things that that I have been saying and emphasizing is discipleship and small groups and talking about homes. And even Hebrews was a church that met in a home. Well, here's where I'm at now in my ministry. There was a time in the past when my vision of a successful ministry was, you know, to try to get as many people as you can to come hear me teach the Bible. But, you know, I've accomplished that. I have lots of people, plenty of people. More people than I know hardly what to do with. And now I have that's not the goal. That is not my priority, nor is it my measure of success. Now I know that the measure of success is not what happens here in big meetings, but really this is the preparation for the work of the ministry that happens when all of you leave and rub shoulders with one another and with your families and your workmates and schoolmates and those who are in the world. And that's why I am thrilled. See, I know that there are many of you who have walked with the Lord and known the Lord. And I want to encourage you to grow by sharing your faith and beginning to pass on to others that which you have learned and experienced. Discipling others will cause you to grow. Take that which you've heard, that which you've learned, that which you know. Grab one person. Grab two people. Grab a couple of friends. I love when I hear about a home that is, you know, talking about the Word, doing a Bible study, some discipleship thing. Or they're meeting some of you meet in a cafe. Or some of you meet for breakfast in a restaurant. Or some of you meet in an office or wherever. And that's where the cutting edge of the power of the Church of Jesus Christ is not in the church buildings. But the cutting edge of the power, dynamically, of the gospel is out on the streets That's where Pentecost happened. It was out on the streets, even outside of the temple, on the steps leading up to it. And the Holy Spirit fell, and there was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there were, on that day, as Peter got up and preached, 3,000 that were saved. It was raw. It was alive. It was dynamic. And in some ways, we keep thinking, well, let's go get all those unsaved people and bring them into church. But God doesn't need that many. He can deliver with few as well as with many. He just needs a few who are dynamically listening and being led by His Spirit to go into the world and impact the world on a gigantic, huge level. Amen? Let me give you one more. Let's close with verse 14. Last principle of continuing to grow. And that is, God's Word will develop, if you stay in it, the gift, the great gift of discernment. By the way, I want to say this. Everything that you have learned or God's done in you and through you and whatever up until now, including me, is not the end. All of this is preparation for what God is going to do in the future. Moses was 80 years old when God finally said, Now I'm ready to give you the big revelation and the burning bush. Abraham was 100 years old, and God said, Abraham, everything in your whole life has merely been preparation for right now. He was 100 years old. Whatever has gone on before is nothing compared with what God wants to do. If we will listen to Him, stay close to His Word. Everything that has happened to you and I up until this point has merely been preparation for what God is about to say and do in us and through us. And if we will continue in the Word, it will give us this tremendous gift of discernment so we can hear the leading and the guiding of the Lord for such a time as this. I don't know the day or the hour the Lord is coming, and I'm glad that I don't. But I do know this. We are living in times. Jesus said to His generation and rebuked them because He goes, you guys do not discern the times. Let me put it in modern English. He goes, to His own generation, Jesus said, you guys don't get it. You don't know what's happening right underneath your nose. You don't understand who is here from heaven. You don't know what these miracles mean. What has begun? What has been started? The kingdom of heaven is among you. You don't get it. You don't discern the times. Almost nobody got it. And He said, will the Son of Man find faith when He comes a second time? I don't want to sharpen the pencil so much that we start, running around and saying this date or that date. But I'll say this. I see signs. Very simple, clear, obvious signs. These are not normal times. These are not times to be sloughing off or messing around or walking in darkness when you are a child of the light. It is a time to walk with God, to be filled with His Spirit, to be in the Word, to discern what the will of the Lord is so that He can accomplish the great and mighty things He desires to do. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need a generation of believers, at least some, at least a few, who have the capacity, and this word discern means to perceive, to detect, to discriminate between that which is good and that which is evil, healthy or not healthy, to perceive differences. And as we grow in the Word, we learn how to use the Word in our lives. It is a characteristic of immature or little children that they have no discernment. Immature little kids, cute as a button, but little children with no discernment will put anything in their mouths. And it's not good. Amen? So let me leave you with this story. Recently, I was at the happiest place on earth. Well, in the holidays with my children and my 5 grandchildren. Now, what place am I talking about? Did you say Disneyland? Yes, we were at Disneyland. And so we're there, and we'd been on all these rides, and you reach that point in the day where you're tired and exhausted, And I got a cup of coffee, and I was sitting near Pirates of the Caribbean on a bench, and they had some of that Dixieland jazz behind me, and I'm sitting down, finally, and I'm sipping coffee, and that was, for me, the best ride of the day. You know what I'm saying? I was enjoying it. And so the kids are running around, and there's little Quinn. Now, Quinn is my youngest granddaughter. She's just barely a year and a half old, and she's feeling confident. So she's running over to other families and talking to them and joining their lunch and eating their lunch and whatever. And so she's walking around. And then all of a sudden, she's far enough away that we can't immediately, you know, grab her. But she's close and within eye. But she looks at us. And this happened. I'm going to describe it. But it happened in a moment. All of a sudden, little Quinn's big eyes, she looked down on the ground, and there was a French fry half stepped on and mauled by the day. Quinn saw the French fry, and she starts going down for the French fry. Immediately, Daniel's, you know, crying. He's going up like this. I'm balancing my coffee as I'm coming up. Jill is coming up out of her seat, and collectively we go, no! And Quinn is going like this and looks up, sees us, and then goes. And we're just like, oh. Daniel rushes. Everything goes into fast motion. Daniel runs over and gets all that. You know, no, Quinny, don't do that. And so we're laughing and washing her mouth and everything else. But the point is, a classic picture sometimes of young Christians who, yeah, they're born again and they're saved and but they don't grow in the Word and they don't know it well enough. And the next thing you know, they're putting anything that comes along doctrinally into their mouth, chewing on it, trying it, experimenting with it, little this, little New Age, little Eastern, little whatever, and making their own smorgasbord of faith, and they crash and burn because of it. The writer of Hebrews is saying the Word of God, stick with it, stay with it, be disciplined in it, let it speak to you, even in the dry times. Be faithful, and you will develop a sense and a discernment. This doesn't smell right. I'm not going to eat it. This doesn't look right. I'm not putting that in my mouth. And you'll only have that which is healthy and good and spiritually nutritious. Amen?
Great insight today from Pastor Ray Bentley on how to maximize our Christian growth. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Let's Go For It. And we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Let's Go For It. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Some people confuse astronomy, the study of celestial objects, with astrology, a system of divining the future based on the occult. Where one can bring you closer to our spiritual adversary, a study of the heavens can reveal things about God. And you'll find an example of that in Pastor Ray's new book called The Holy Land Key.
We believe the book of Job is the oldest book. And in Job chapter 38, Job is having a conversation where God is speaking to him, and God mentions the Maseroth. When you look it up, is basically the 12 constellations, what we call in Greek the zodiac. Most people think of the zodiac as, oh, astrology, stay away from that. In fact, before astrology came, there was God revealing himself through these 12 pictures. 12 is a number for God. And they point to the story of the gospel. It's fascinating.
Pastor Ray tells you more in the pages of his brand new book, The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's far too easy to miss the significant prophetic signs contained in God's creation, in stories of biblical characters, and in the lives and actions of today's Israelis and Palestinians. Well, Pastor Ray helps us unlock the insights, and he brings the puzzle pieces together. Let us send you a copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact in your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.